Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hello there, creepies. Welcome to episode 57. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, Sean?
Nothing too much, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Nate?
Holla.
Holla at your boy.
Holla if you're hipty.
Nate's wound up because...
He is wound up.
He earned his money. You earned your money.
Yeah, I always earn my money.
Before we start recording. Yeah. Oh, I know. Sean doesn't, but you do.
That bag of money was empty, though. But that's the point, right?
Here's the sound of the money you made. There you go.
I don't hear anything.
Nothing.
Oh, I see
no.
The point.
No, I'm doing good. Got my work done. Actually, though, I thought I've got to work tonight.
You're like, yeah. Yay.
But no, I'm good. Weather's awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
Saw my daughter play volleyball
first
yesterday.
First day of spring, right?
Yeah.
Well, what about that new intro?
Don't tell them.
I won't be on.
They're going to hear it.
It's going to be on this one, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Here, don't tell me outro.
First time caller, long time listener. Or wait, long time listener.
Right,
first
time
caller.
We are doing this one, aren't we? Yeah. It was my idea.
It was your idea.
I'm too excited. I can't think right now. Sorry.
This is going to be a long, long episode.
Oh, we are. Yeah. It's Sunday, so we're out of our comfort. Not our comfort, but our scheduling. Pattern, whatever you want to call
it. I'm uncomfortable.
We do not want to make Nate uncomfortable. That's the last person you want uncomfortable around here. He'll just shut us off.
Sorry, Nate. It's my bad.
Bow your heads.
Yeah, we'll bow our heads. No, I'm doing great. You guys have a good weekend so far?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Nate and I were talking about it. It's been a really good day before you got here.
No, I just ruined it.
No,
not at all.
Nothing all day.
Oh, that's nice.
It's nice.
I am quite jealous.
I know. I was busy, but I was outside a lot, so
it's
good. Yeah, I was driving around circles again, but it's good. I got to jog this morning. I know that should be signs of a bad day, but it was good to be outside and
absolutely
active. My body took well to it, so.
That's a good thing.
Yeah,
it's good.
True story.
No, it was, I worked at my job. It's, you know, the Ignition Arts haunted, you know.
It is haunted, huh?
Supposed to be. I've had that one incident. I don't know. I haven't had any since, but I'm just waiting.
I'm waiting.
Keep my eyes open, my ears
open. It's going to be a really boring haunted book that you're going to write if there's only one story to tell.
That's pretty much it, guys. Thanks for reading my book.
Day 256.
Nothing again. So.
Goose egg.
Until tomorrow. Yeah. No, it was good.
Yeah.
I do have to work after this. I just realized. All right.
Huh? Okay, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Yeah, I'm going to do that's a wrap this time, Nate. Is that all right? That's a wrap.
Todd seems to be in a hurry. He's got to work.
No, I'm good though. I'm good. It's local. It's close. So
that's good.
Yeah. So it's always helpful.
The next door. Not that local. Not that okay.
Danville, where the
localish
one of the haunted bridges is.
Right.
Yeah. So no, I'm great though. In episode 57, we're getting close to the 60.
Dangerously close.
We are.
We're cautiously excited, right?
And I will have to say, and see what's today. And Thursday will be my wife and I's 15th wedding anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Man,
24th.
Congrats. She's tolerated you that long?
It seems about like 115 years probably
for her,
poor girl. But yeah, we're excited. So we're going to have a date night that night and go to dinner. Her brother got us, I think for Christmas, got us a nice gift card for somewhere different. Yeah. So
it's probably a good thing we do years instead of days.
Oh, yeah. It'd be like prison, you know, like another day in paradise.
Yeah, it is paradise. Oh, it's been paradise, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Married you, right?
Whenever she gets to this episode, which I've got a long way to go, she's behind.
Just another day.
Yeah, we're excited. So I had to switch my schedule around, and so we're recording today.
Well, we appreciate you doing that, too,
being flexible. I appreciate you guys.
Grand
being flexible. anyway, what do you got, Mr. Sean?
I've got the first part of the announcements if you'd like to hear them.
I think you ready, Nate?
You ready?
I'm ready.
No.
We need a snack.
He's still uncomfortable.
Hold on. Let's stop the show and have a snack. No.
I feel weird.
We got to make you feel, well, no, what we're talking about tonight is going to make you feel less. Yeah, no, that's true. No. All right. First thing I want you guys to do, and do this now, is follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Middle Age Creeped Out. And on TikTok, you can find us at Mako. That's two A's podcast, right? Come find us. We have merch. I know this is a huge shock to everybody, but we got merch. It's got our logo on it. Mm-hmm. You can find it. You can get
it's just a blank shirt.
Get it from us.
You order a coffee mug, nothing on
it. So what am I going to say? Go get you some.
Right? Go anywhere and get those.
Right.
Hey, this isn't our logo. What the heck?
Yeah.
No. Go get you some because I just want to be able to say that. We definitely want you to go out there and rate and review. Please do. 5-star, right? There's only 5 stars?
Only 5.
Out there and tell us. And then
tell
us how
you don't like us, don't rate us. Yeah, just don't listen. And
just skip past that part.
Yeah.
Right. And review us. Tell us something nice. Tell us something, right? Just tell us anything. Make it nice, though, please. Yeah. And Spotify has ratings. They don't have so much on the reviews, but it's okay. And word of mouth. Always want to mention word of mouth. Mm-hmm. Please tell. If you like us, tell everybody you know. Tell them they might like it too, right? And all of this, what we do, all this we put together, we always, always, always want to build this community of mental health, right? Always, always, always.
Always.
Just one. Always,
I'm
always.
Just smiling.
Oh, we got a tall, but no way. That's not tall, but that's Sam. Hey, Sam is alive and well, by the way.
Oh, he's
he knocked that
stuff over.
He knocked that over. You thought that was a ghost.
He didn't care.
Well, I see this thing tipping down. I'm like, wait a minute.
We have a studio ghost, but that wasn't it.
No.
This is a mental health community. Mm-hmm. We're helping each other out here, right? This helps us, you know, it helps you guys. And, so we always want to give out the substance abuse and mental health hotline number is 1-800-662-4357. Last four, and that's help. And the National Prevention of Suicide Lifeline and Veterans Crisis Line and Bullying, number is 1-800-273-8255. Don't you laugh over there. And the last four, that's, that's talk. Funny. The last four, that's talk. I know you couldn't help it. And there is also a bullying awareness website.
Not bowling.
Not bowling. There's no bowling in this. StopBullying.com. Oh, I'll never be able to say it right now.
Bullying.
Bullying.
It is a hard word to say.
It kind of is. Well, and I'm a lazy talker, so you got to watch out.
Don't be lazy.
Wait, what?
Was that?
What? Say what?
Bullying. Bullying. Yeah, so.
That's
we
the first part of the
don't want anybody bullying.
You can bowl all you want.
Oh,
just don't
bowl. We're not anti-bowling. I mean, I like to bowl.
We don't want anybody out there saying, well, what do they got against bowling.
Now I not bowling. Bullying.
I think we're really confused. I'm confused.
Now I'm uncomfortable.
I'm next.
Thanks, Sean, for that.
You're not thankful for that at all. You're like, what was
no,
that?
I'm thankful it's over.
Garbage. Garbaccio.
No, I
did my best.
I know. That's all I can ask for. It says on here, Sean, for his announcement. So I thank you.
You're barking over there like, Sean just dialed it in for that one.
No, I would not. And I want to say thank you to the Creepies for watching us on Facebook Live.
Yay.
I only had a few, but hey. That was nice.
Both of you seem to enjoy it quite well.
Yeah, one was my wife. And
No.
We had a few people. And you know, actually, a few people reached out and said that they got caught at work or they intended to watch. And
No excuses.
And then we had, 20 minutes of no sound?
Yeah. People are going, hey, I wish I could hear this right now.
Yeah,
I wonder what's happening. Yeah. Why is Sean picking his nose again? Ew.
But it was, they heard the main stuff. So
somehow
the main segments.
They put it all together and made it magical. So
it was great. But no, thank you, Creepies, for watching us goofballs.
Yeah,
and then,
that was fun.
I think the episode turned out pretty well. So,
Fun stuff.
So that's the main thing, is what they can listen to instead of us just going.
Doing an Amy impersonation.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not nice.
Hey.
Someday you'll have to explain. When she listens to these, you're going to have to say, this is what we're talking about.
Yeah. She's deaf.
It's all fun.
That's all I have. What are we going to talk about, Sean?
What do you want to talk about?
What shall we talk about? Well, you tell them. You tell the listener.
Well, this is my pick, so that's why I can make fun of it. I thought it would be a really good idea to talk about what's called the 27 Club. I'm sure I know Nate was aware of it because it's a music. Mm-hmm. Well, it's partially a music thing. That's mainly what we're going to focus on.
Mostly music.
Mostly music. That's what we're going to focus on.
I've been
on
aware
a
of
lot.
It for 10 plus years.
27 years.
So I figured, yeah, most of us know. There's documentaries on it. They've made all kind of different stuff about it. So, but we're going to talk all about it. To me, it's pretty spooky. And then when I watch some of these videos, I'm like, how dare you statistically disprove this? Don't do that to me. Don't do that. So I will give a little foundation since it's my topic. The 27 Club is an urban legend. Oh, well, then let's just stop right there if it's urban legend. No, it's good. Urban legend that popular musicians, artists, and actors die at age 27 with statistically anomalous frequency. Although the claim of statistical spike for the death of... I don't like Wikipedia the way it puts this. It's like it doesn't believe it. Although the claim of a statistical spike, in quotations, for the death of musicians at that age has been repeatedly disproven by research, boo, it remains a cultural phenomenon documenting the deaths of celebrities, many noted for their high-risk lifestyles. I don't know what they're talking about on that one.
No, they don't do anything that's could contribute to that.
It says, the 27 Club includes popular musicians, artists, actors, and athletes. So don't forget the athletes who died at age 27. Like I said, a lot of them are near and dear to us.
I've not heard the athletes.
Near and dear to us. Well, there's like 50 or more on some of these lists. We won't have to go over all of them. But they're, athletes are on there who died at age 27, often as a result of drug and alcohol abuse or violent means such as homicide, suicide, transportation-related accidents. The quote-unquote club has been repeatedly cited in music magazines, journals, and the daily press. Several exhibitions have been devoted to the idea, as well as novels, films, and stage plays.
Quite interesting. I have a little stat here. Rolling Stone. They have reported that there are 71 members of the 27
Club. Oh, 71, yeah. I knew it was 50 plus, yeah.
So, it's a lot. But no, I didn't know. I mean, I've known about the 27 Club, but I didn't know anything about, like the athletes and all that. I'm just thinking musicians and actors in that type of entertainment field.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't think about athletes. So, yeah. I think it's a spooky deal, though. I don't care what the... What they say.
It's still
darn
weird.
Darn Wikipedia.
It's still weird. Yeah.
Who are they?
Whatever.
I bet that's stressful year for anybody that's a celebrity status.
Well, that's what it shows in some of these.
Let's see. How old am I? 27. I am a singer. Oh. See what we got here. Yeah.
It was a big, like the big years. It goes back further too, and we'll talk about it here in just a little bit. But the deaths of several 27-year-old popular musicians between 1969 and 71 led to the beliefs that deaths are more common at this age. Music biographer Charles R. Cross wrote, "The number of musicians who died at 27 is truly remarkable by any standard." So see, this is where I think it's right. It says, although humans die regularly at all ages, well, that's a fair statement.
What?
There is a statistical spike for musicians who die at age 27.
Mm-hmm.
There have been many theories and speculations about the causes of such early deaths and their possible connections, but statistically, studies have failed to find any unusual patterns of musicians' deaths at this age. There are, and this is fair. I did look at some of the other ones that have died, and they were like 25, 32, and so around that age, but you don't, doesn't sound as catchy to say the 25 Club or the 32 Club.
No.
So we got to keep it the 27 Club. Just round.
Diana Theodora. Oh, this is the name. Oh, were you done? I'm sorry.
No, I'm done. Yeah.
Diana Theodora Kenny, a professor focusing on music and psychology, has investigated and published articles about the death of musicians. One of her findings concluded that more musicians die at the age of 28 than 27.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
Every time we go, we're going to be like, okay, we'll just stop that then.
Yeah, right.
No such thing. We disproved it.
Right. But it says, however, Kenny did state that there were more famous musicians that die at the age of 27.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, there you go. That is a big difference. I mean,
so some of these, I mean, a lot of these are very notable. Brian Jones, Rolling Stones. Mm-hmm. So,
and we can delve into them like individually, but yeah, sure. Sort of rattle off some of the famous ones.
Brian Jones, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin. Yeah. Don't say who. And Jim Morrison all died at the age of 27 between 1969 and 1971. At the time, the coincidence gave rise to some comment, but it was, not until Kurt Cobain's death in 94 at the age of 27, the idea of the 27 Club began to catch on in public perception. It originated back in blues musician Robert Johnson, who died in 1938. Mm-hmm. He's the earliest popular musician who had been included into the members of the 27 Club because he supposedly made a deal with the devil. To give him
Crossroads, Mississippi.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
That's, I love that
music
story.
Lore and legend and truth, right?
Yeah, we can get into that. I mean, we can, you know, I'm fascinated by that story. And there's only one picture of him.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think he's holding his guitar. I think it is. I think he's holding it. Isn't it?
I believe so, yeah.
But you think they'd have more than that, but just have one. You know.
Yeah, at that time, nobody played guitar like him.
So
yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
You want to see the picture?
Yep, there
That's
it is.
That's why. Yay. See
the picture. Got his little hat on there, yeah. Because they had said that he was awful.
He doesn't look like
They said he was terrible.
Yeah, and then until
so he goes to the crossroads and then
he doesn't look like he made a deal with the devil. Maybe this was before the deal with the devil.
Right.
He didn't have the horns poking out.
and supposedly I guess you have to have your back turned and you hand over your guitar, I guess, to the devil.
He
tunes it, does whatever he does, hands it back, and then they said then when he came back, started playing, they're like
He
must have made a deal with the devil because he was just awesome. Mm-hmm. But there wouldn't have been enough time. You know, like if you're that bad, it would take a lot. Right.
Yeah, to be that
good. So that's how the whole legend of Robert, yeah. So
maybe he was just
he died at 27.
Like, you know, maybe it was all an act. Maybe he really could, and then he was just pretending. And then
he was sandbagging.
Really good sandbagging, right. Huh. He's a good poker player, baby. Or pool player.
Yeah, he's a great player. Right.
he's a pool shark.
Yeah, now whether that happened, who knows? But they have eyewitnesses, people that said that he was not good.
That's
and
right.
Then he was, like, amazing. So
it's funny. It says,
who knows?
Blues man Robert Johnson, legend has it that he made a pact with the devil at the crossroads and achieved fame and glory only to die at 27. The founder of this club, he gets to be the founder, he became the catalyst for the mixing of spirituals, country, and blues that would someday become rock and roll. So God bless him. Legend has it that Johnson made a deal with the devil at Mississippi Crossroads and he was granted fame and fortune. But his life ended far too soon. Johnson died at the age of 27, setting up the stage for musicians to come.
And do you know how he died?
I don't. That's what I was looking for.
He got poisoned.
Oh.
So some dude in the club saw him.
It's the devil. The devil dude.
Macking on his wife, making a move there. And so he poisoned Robert, and that's how he died. So Robert had a knife for the ladies, married ladies. Yeah. So
said the first to follow in Johnson's footsteps was Rolling Stones founder Brian Jones. He had recently been replaced in the band, but according to friends, was never happier and planned to start a new band. Unfortunately, Jones drowned in the swimming pool at his home after a long night of drinking and drugs. Jones' death remains mysterious today. Although deemed accidental, rumors have suggested suicide or even murder because his girlfriend supposedly found him at the bottom of the pool. She got him out of the pool and she said he still had a heartbeat. And so she says that the way that he ended up dying, a lot of these girlfriends of Jimi Hendrix's did too, said that they felt like they were murdered. And they all, you know, yes, they had these hard, life. Oh, I know, here comes a conspiracy, right? Darn it.
No,
I thought you're like, sure, right.
Pockets all messed up.
But a lot of these girlfriends or families are like, now, wait a minute. They partied hard, but they didn't want to actually die. But nobody wants to die. But so there are thoughts. I know these are conspiracy theories, but they thought that I think it was Jimi Hendrix's girlfriend said she felt like it was almost like a mafia style, the way that he went down. Cause he was talking a few days before that he was going, he always said he wouldn't make it to 30. Jimi Hendrix apparently. Mm-hmm. In the last few days, I guess he told friends 2 days before he died, I'm almost gone. So why was he saying that? Did he really feel like the drugs were getting him that bad? Was he really that bad? And his girlfriend, for her to say that, you know, it was just kind of weird. And same, Jim Morrison, same thing. He was in Paris, girlfriend. He died in Paris. And
now slow down.
I'm getting all excited because I said
him off at one.
I know. I said conspiracy.
Poor Robert Johnson. I mean,
I know. Yeah. Did we finish Robert Johnson? Sorry.
No, but he did get poisoned. That one obviously was murder.
Yes.
That one, that's, there's no,
Yeah, but that had the devil
overdose
in it, so.
Or anything.
Huh? Yeah, I had the devil in it, so, and a woman.
That,
so.
That's the creepy part.
Like, yeah.
And you can't go, I'd love to go to the crossroads, because you can go there.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
At the spot.
Yeah, like, that's rock and roll history.
Or do we want, put that on the list, go ahead.
I know.
We'll add that, yeah. And I think it's in, I know it's in Mississippi, Biloxi, or?
Biloxi.
Biloxi. What, is that where it's at? I can't remember.
I'm not sure.
You're not, I was just wondering.
I think that's right. That sounds right.
Let's just say
Mississippi.
So
it's Mississippi.
Yeah. Mississippi.
Show more Mississippi. It's not a very big state. Wrong.
So, yeah. I mean, there's really not much more to cover on Robert. But he did start it. That's how the whole thing. As far as Brian Jones, yeah, I have heard the it could have been murder. You know, he was found in his pool. He saw the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
Mick Jagger, not Ron Wood, Keith Richards. He kind of saw them two kind of taking over the band.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he was obviously the founder. Yeah, mm-hmm. and he just got squeezed out.
Yep.
And just like, so they're thinking, did he kill himself? Because he was like, well, I don't have any hope now. I'm getting basically kicked out or squeezed out.
Like I said, some people said
was he
as happy as he'd ever been, so
weird.
Hard to say. But I wouldn't to me, I wouldn't think that would be the case, but unless he was really truly
happy to be
out.
There's a lot of people that are happy, but they also take drugs and drink too much, and you can die from an overdose, but not meaning to kill yourself. I mean, that's just,
yeah.
I mean, good grief, you know? Or you mix medications by accident. Doesn't mean like you have to be miserable or suicidal to die like that. I mean, you can be a happy person, but you just have a little bit too much, or you
combine too hard.
Yeah, I mean, but I get it. If you're a girlfriend or wife of these people, it's just easier to say. Although they wouldn't, because it breaks your heart even more. Like,
I didn't want to jump too far. Well, I wasn't trying to jump into Jim Morrison to get into his story yet. But the funny thing about his girlfriend is that she had said she felt like there was something.
Who, Brian?
Not right. Not Brian. Jim. I'm sorry. I'm jumping back to Jim Morrison. I'm talking about the girlfriend part of it. Jim Morrison's girlfriend thought there was something strange going on too, and then she died a year later when she turned 27. So,
oh, I don't know if I knew that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched a lot of videos on this crazy stuff. And that yeah.
I mean, I thought that was really strange.
Now she's not included in this club.
Yeah,
but kind of. No, if there's a 27 club for people that die at 27, but
that you don't know of.
Yeah,
you've never heard of.
You know, Jim Morrison's girlfriend. So, and he is buried in Paris too, by the way. So. Yeah, that's why I really wouldn't, like I said, jumping ahead. But
no, I get you. I was just, I just think you're the way they party and what they took and the alcohol and the drugs and it's like nonstop. I mean, you kind of are playing with fire there.
Yeah,
I mean,
your body can only withstand so much.
That's true, and that's
you choke on your own. I mean, vomit, and that they, you know, you pass out, and then your body still is going to function, and so. Mm-hmm. Can't
it's surprising that not wake more up died, after, honestly.
Yeah, I know.
Let's be honest. I mean, if we're being truthful with this. But it is weird how some of these died pretty close together. Mm-hmm. The next to die was Canned Heat's guitarist, Blind Al Wilson, on September 3rd, 1970. Wilson was said to have suffered severe bouts of depression, and on the night of his death was camping out behind Canned Heat's singer, Bob Height's house. The band was leaving on a European tour the next day. Wilson's body was found in his sleeping bag the next morning. The official version of his death was an accidental drug overdose, but many of his closest friends believe that his premature death was a suicide.
Hmm. All right.
They have all really nice pictures of all these guys.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
Yeah.
What was his name again?
The Blind Al. What is Al? Is what his name is. Al Wilson. They called him the Blind Al.
Right.
From Canned Heat.
See, like 5 years before Brian Jones, Rudy Lewis became part of the club, too.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Vocalist for the Drifters.
Okay.
Okay.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot. I mean, I've heard of the Drifters. I couldn't have told you his name, but
yeah,
I do know the Drifters.
It's kind of like you have to look at the time frame and then looking over it is weird how many people there are probably people that you miss. They're like, oh yeah, I guess he could be included too, or or she. So it goes on to later the same month, from Al Wilson, the rock world was stunned to learn that Jimi Hendrix had died in a girlfriend's apartment in London. Hendrix became known as a legendary guitar player in the late '60s, and some of his friends believe that he may have sensed his impending death. That July before his death, he told some reporters, "I don't think I'll live to see 28. The official version of Hendrix's death states that he was unable to sleep on the night of September 17, 1970, and took 9 sleeping pills. His usual dosage was 2. While his girlfriend was away from the apartment buying cigarettes, Hendrix vomited in his sleep, inhaled it, and died. So asphyxiation.
Right.
Rumors swirled that he may have committed suicide or may have been murdered, which that's what she felt like.
I don't agree with that, but that's just...
Yeah, I could totally see how he could die. Yeah, I mean, he just... Yeah.
Vomited in his sleep.
It does happen.
Took too much... I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. What do we say in a lot of the stuff? That somebody... It makes them feel better if they can blame somebody.
This is true, yeah.
Oh, and I'm sure... He wouldn't have killed himself.
And I'm sure she loved him too.
It's terrible. Yeah. I'm not trying to be like... I'm just saying. I think it's just he overdosed and threw up in his sleep and, yeah, suffocated or whatever. Asphyxiated.
Asphyxiation.
I didn't know they called it also the Forever 27 Club. Mm-hmm. I never heard that.
That sounds like a clothing line, though. Let's be honest. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Forever.
They have that at the mall. Forever. You want to go to Forever?
Forever 27.
a place that we would not go
Forever
to.
Forever 21, right?
That's a thing. Is that what it's, yeah.
I think so. I don't know. Ask my daughters.
The 21 Club. And it's been a long time.
That is a new, well, it's funny you say that, and we don't have to get in that too much, but my son, Harrison, goes, well, now it's the 21 Club. And I was like, oh, that's a good point. And I don't know the guys too much. At least the one I know, and most people would know, is Juice WRLD. Dying at 21. So a lot of the rappers are now dying at 21, and they're making reference to it.
And they're making good choices, too.
Of course they are. And with lots of good choicing people.
But it's too bad. I mean, I don't like
it. It is. Well,
whatever the reason is.
Harrison believes.
I'm not trying to be too callous, but
Harrison believes that Juice WRLD, on purpose, started talking about his death, made a bunch of songs. Because I promise you, it's so weird. Harrison will be like, I'll be like, who's that new song from? Juice WRLD. I thought he died like a couple years ago.
Right.
Oh, yeah, but he had all this music. Sure.
It's like
I'm like,
Tupac.
He's still alive.
He put out more music since he's been
exactly
dead.
Exactly right.
26 years ago or whatever, years ago.
And they did, yeah. And Tupac. To be fair, it's possible that he just had a catalog they left and blah, blah. But Harrison believes he's still alive somewhere, you know, laughing and swimming in his money somewhere. But
who, Juice WRLD?
Juice WRLD,
no.
Yeah.
No,
no, I'm sure he's not. But, yeah, he's out of here.
Or did he just juice too much?
He's out of here. I'm pretty sure that's it.
I think. I don't know.
Anyway.
Squeezing the juice.
What is it? Didn't they say Prince has like vaults of music that we could spend lifetimes listening to the music we've never heard from Prince?
And they've said that a lot. I mean, about a lot of musicians where they have stuff
catalogs
we've never heard.
Yeah. And vaults.
I mean, that's what they do. They just sit around writing music.
It was great.
The thing with Prince, though, is he could play every instrument.
Oh, so, man, he was talented.
When he recorded, he didn't use, you know, other studio artists and stuff. He did
use himself. Yeah, that's right.
Then when he went on tour, that's when he had all of his bandmates there playing the parts. But
right,
primarily when he recorded songs, it was just him.
Mm-hmm. He was
so, and you know, most of them have studios right there in their own home, and
mm-hmm.
so he, you know, get up at 2 o'clock in the morning with an idea in his head and start laying it down, and
yeah.
I mean, it's not unusual for a big artist like that to have 2,000 something.
Right, and that's what they do, and that's their passion, that's their talent,
I mean,
that's their
Halen,
job.
He has a whole vault of songs too.
Oh man,
yeah,
that'd be cool. Yeah.
So we got music coming our way. Is that what we're saying? Good music.
Maybe.
Coming.
I mean, it depends.
It'll outlive us.
The family releases it.
I know.
You know?
Gosh, it will outlive us.
It'd be
us,
really fun. Yeah.
And the thing is, like, you know, Eddie, what you know, came up through the age of tape and all that stuff, mm-hmm. so it's all on tape, and a lot of it's deteriorating, and you know, some of it's going to be lost.
Yeah,
that's too bad.
It is.
That's real. I mean, an artist like that, like, oh man, I'd love to hear more Eddie Van Halen.
Mm-hmm.
I was so sad. I mean, sad anybody dies, but he's one of my favorites. You mm-hmm. know,
but he was not 27.
No,
to be fair, no.
65. He was 65.
Mm-hmm. So Jim Morrison. Now prove this one wrong. Because this guy was living like pure the Lizard King.
Yeah.
Jim Morrison.
Yeah, he's
lead singer of The Doors. We all know him, right?
Fantastic front man.
Allegedly died in a bathtub in Paris at the age of 27, but the jury is still out on this one. Again, he had his girlfriend. And it's funny that she died the next year, and she was 26.
Yeah, I didn't know that,
though. 27.
Hmm.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, you The Doors, that's a group I came to enjoying late. I just in about the last 5 years, I was never a Doors fan. I didn't like the organ, you know, the keyboard, and I love their music now. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those, you know, Queen is another one. I'm getting off track, but I always thought he was, when I'd see videos, or I always thought he was talented, just the sound didn't really grab me as far as their, but I really like them. The Doors, yeah. So I came to the party late on that one, them and Queen.
Oh, that's okay.
Two examples, but
yeah, this is saying that he died from heart failure.
Mm-hmm. Well, they said that I believe it was heroin he was injecting, and
that
to me,
would do.
I've always heard, yeah, no kidding, and it was an overdose.
I mean,
that will stop your heart.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is the some sources had said that was not normally his drug of choice. That's not what he was normally taking. So somebody injected that into him and so on and so forth. Conspiracy theories abound about everything, right? So including musicians that we love.
Yeah.
They're all living on an island somewhere. They all fake their death. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
And
that I don't buy.
Michael Jackson is their leader.
Oh, he's dead too.
Janis Joplin. Yes, I'm sure she's gone.
I like Janis Joplin.
She died. Yeah, I know.
Talk about
a spirit.
Powerful.
Well, she 100
pounds on a
force
on a heavy day, and she was
she died two weeks after Jimmy. She died, which is also, you know, like, hey, the music world just lost Jimmy. How about Janis now? So that you can see where people are like, wait a minute, hold on, what's going on here? Janis Joplin died from a heroin overdose. She was heroin, definitely. And maybe she was the one that they were saying that she normally didn't do heroin, so I may have that mixed up.
Well, she was a drinker.
Yes.
She was a big alcoholic.
So died of a heroin overdose at the Landmark Hotel in Hollywood. Joplin escaped a lifetime of pain through music, alcohol, and drugs, and became one of the greatest blues singers of all time. Mm-hmm. October 4th, her body was discovered in her hotel room after she failed to show up for a recording session. Her friends had often begged her to stop using drugs, but Joplin had a better answer for them. Let's face it, I'll never see 30. So a lot of these people kind of like, you know, self-fulfilling prophecy kind of thing.
She had a terrible childhood. Have you heard any... or watching videos or hurting. Oh my gosh.
So more,
just, you know, wasn't treated well by, you know, schoolmates.
She had a rough life.
Her parents didn't really have, rough life.
But the voice that came out of her was something else. Yeah.
Oh man. She was awesome.
You may have misspoke.
And Morrison came after her then. Is that what you're going to say?
No. Yeah. Morrison was after her.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
She is 2 weeks after Jimi Hendrix.
You're right.
Oh.
Yeah. 2 weeks after Hendrix, and then Morrison was in 71. Yeah. I was just going to say that, correct myself, that they put, for whatever reason, they put Jim's picture first, and then they put his story after. I don't know why they
did
that.
We're going to have to dock your pay.
I know. Well, Nate's going to like splice this all together, make it right. So take out all this. It will only be here 3 hours.
Well, I'm following
a
list. I'm following a list, and it went out of order, so I confirmed it.
You're right.
Just to make sure.
Yeah.
I don't want us to put out false information.
That's right. Like we've done all the other programs.
It slips by. We do it.
And he did.
Why are you worried about it now?
Why? Yeah.
We're almost to 100 episodes.
We are way off the tracks. We're on another
good
plan.
Call. No, oh, good catch. I didn't know.
He was a heroin overdose too. Mm-hmm. This says, that's what I thought I read or heard on one of these. That's the problem is when you read a bunch of stuff and you hear a bunch of stuff, it all gets mixed together.
No,
but it says a drug that he supposedly never used. And his death certificate was quickly signed by a French doctor who apparently never existed. A funeral was held 5 days later, and Morrison, like so many other musicians of the day, was inducted into the club of those who died at 27. Mm. So, and a lot of people still think there's a conspiracy around it.
Well, on this article, it's 27 interesting facts about the 27 Club. Mm-hmm. And one says, since Jim Morrison, Brian Jones, Jimi Hendrix, and Janis Joplin passed away at 27, all within 2 years of each other's deaths, some speculated that there was a CIA operation to assassinate popular alternative music artists in the 1960s. I don't buy that.
There's your conspiracy. I know, and I don't fully
add that
either.
To the list.
It's interesting, but yeah, I don't fully buy it either.
Come on. What are they going to get out of it? Nothing.
But we have to mention it's part of the research.
Oh, absolutely.
No, I know. I agree.
It's crazy
I'm not 100%.
You know what? I think when Amy Winehouse, she's also a member of the 27 Club. Do you have? I think she died in
2011.
Because I think that's when I kind of really heard about the 27 Club. So it wasn't that long. But I mean, I knew it was at least a decade ago. But I think that's when I heard there's something to it. Mm. You know, and I knew nothing about Robert Johnson. Now
I don't remember him talking about a lot with Kurt Cobain. Now they might have. I don't know.
I don't either.
A teenager, but yeah.
Yeah,
I do remember when Kurt Cobain died, though.
Oh man,
yeah. I was so 1994, right?
I was young. I was 23.
Same year as O.J. Simpson, being chased in the Bronco, and my grandfather passed away that year. So that was But Kurt Cobain, I remember he passed away, and it's like, So, but the thing with him is that his mother, what really brought this out is she said he went and joined that darn club. I told him not to join that club.
Yeah,
so
I've heard that.
It was in his mind, apparently, according to his mother, that he going to die at 27.
Yeah.
So again, self-fulfilling prophecy. Did he just wreck his life into oblivion? But yeah, they couldn't find him they couldn't find him for a while, and then
miserable life. Yeah, and he shot himself. Oh yeah, I remember that. I was heading to work when I heard it, and because I was young, heading to work downtown Indy, and they came on the radio and said Kurt Cobain shot himself. I'm like, oh my goodness, And then I just remember looking at the videos of people they couldn't believe it, and just flowers and teddy bears, and they had
Yeah, they're
distraught. I mean,
grief stricken fans. Yeah, definitely.
Because I thought he was very talented.
Yeah,
you know.
And they said that Amy Winehouse wasn't in the same league as a lot of these singers, but she was up and coming.
Oh yeah,
but it was
and she had a different sound. I mean, she was good.
Oh yeah,
she had a powerful voice.
But it was on her mind too that she was afraid that she was going to die. She had verbalized or vocalized this to people that I don't want to be one of those statistics. And then she ended up being one. And so it was kind of weird. But she wasn't sitting there like, oh, I'm going to be part of this. I don't want to be. And she ended up still being.
She was alcohol poisoning, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
That was her.
Yeah. Yeah, she was a drinker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was.
It is. So it is sad. Like I said, I hope the listeners, I'm not trying to, I just don't believe a lot of this. I don't believe there's a CIA, you know, operation to kill these people. And I don't think they were murdered. I mean, they just, and I'm not saying they killed, I mean, obviously Kurt Cobain did, he killed, shot himself. But I mean, I'm saying like, yeah, they might've been happy or might've been in a good place but they were drug users, heavy drug users and partiers and drinkers. And whether they meant to or not, they overdosed, you know, or they passed out, you know, after they took something and body can't take it, you know? So you're going to vomit it up. And if you're not awake to help yourself, and you're going to, choke. So it's sad. However, you know, whoever, it's just sad.
Well, each one of these people, no matter, from all ranges and decades and backgrounds, you know, and they, you know, a lot of them had rough childhoods or rough lives.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what made their music beautiful is that pain. There's beauty in the breakdown, right? And that's what comes out in people's lives and the artists. You know, they can create beautiful things because they've been through so much pain, you know. That's not always the case, but it can be. And so, to me, I think about that there are, you know, there's mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, friends for all these people. And so, fans, beyond, you know, and that's there's a lot of grieving, you know. And so, I don't know. And you don't know what those people are like, but if they're young, they're living it up. You know, they probably are thinking, who knows if this is my last moment. They're getting a lot of pressure. Oh, we want more albums, more songs, more, you know, create. Dude, I can only do so much, you know. So they, you know, a lot of them probably did just, you know, shuffle or fold, I should say, not shuffle.
That's how they deal with the stress.
They shuffle to get there and then they folded, yeah.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. Do you guys, Jim Morrison and I think it was Jim Morrison. I'm trying to think of the story. It had been a while, but I think he and Janis Joplin were dating at one time.
Mm-hmm.
They were a couple.
Okay.
I think so. And I just don't want to, you know, I'll go for it. I can correct it later on. But I think he would get out of control. Like he got like he had a really bad temper when he was high or whatever. I think he punched her or, yeah, attacked her and either she kicked him out of the car or he kicked her out of the car or something in downtown London. And then they, you know, he felt bad, but I think they were a couple. I'm like, whoa, you talk about toxic chemistry there. You know, they both had their issues and both had their drug problems. And I would think they just fed off of each other. But I hope I'm right on that. I think they were a couple at one time, Joplin and Morrison.
That sounds right. Can you imagine, though, so much
intermixing with that type of...
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Ooh, both them with their issues, and yeah. They said he was just... Because she said he was kind and treated her well until he basically turned into a monster when he didn't know what he was doing, you know,
sure,
when he was drunk or high. And just, he was a totally different person. And yeah, I mean, that's what happens.
So what's interesting is, I don't know if you guys have heard of this along with it, but I wanted to point this out as part of our discussion, is the white lighter myth. Have you ever heard of that?
The what?
The white lighter curse or the white lighter myth.
Continue, please.
Is an urban legend based on the 27 Club, in which it is claimed several musicians and artists died while in possession of a white lighter, leading white lighters to become associated with bad fortune. The myth is primarily based on the deaths of Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, and Kurt Cobain. The myth has been integrated with cannabis culture.
Mm.
Now, of course, Snopes in 2017 discredited this theory, but it's also interesting, like, that supposedly these people all carried white lighters.
Hmm. I did not know that.
So, I don't know. How many of you guys, have you guys ever carried a white lighter?
No.
Me neither. No. And I'm still, I made it past 27.
No, I did not. Or have not.
I thought that was an interesting piece no. of this.
Yeah. I mean, this is all fascinating. What a great topic you chose.
Oh, thank you.
There's so much to it because there's so many people involved. And then you've got the conspiracy theories, and then you've got the, just all kinds of different things.
What I thought was interesting, and I have to bring this in. I'm going to bring a little personal thing, and I'm by no means any kind of a musician or famous person or whatever. But
you're totally famous. You're a big deal.
I am now.
I
am now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you were just talking about before.
And I don't know what age it was. And tell me if you guys have ever had these feelings. But I never told anybody this. I've told a couple people now. But at the time, I never told anybody. But I never thought I'd live past 30. And I don't remember thinking on the 27 Club or anything. I certainly wasn't famous. Mm-hmm. But I thought that 20s would be it. And I don't know where I got that idea. I don't know. So the first person I ever told was a girlfriend in college, my early 20s. That was before I met Jenna. And I was in a car, and it just was weighing heavily on me. And she and I were becoming closer, and I had never told anybody this. And it was one of those things where I just felt compelled to tell her. And I told her, I said, I don't know how close you want to get to me, because I don't think I'm going to live past 30. And she looked at me and she said, I've always felt that way too. And I said, no, are you kidding me? And she said, yeah, I don't think I'm going to live past 30 either. And so I was like, well, let's stay together. No. And I just felt so much better from telling, like coming out. Isn't that weird though?
Yeah,
like two people, like of all the people on the planet, most of them would have been like, you're crazy or snap out of it kind of thing. Right. But she was like, oh, ooh, I felt the same way.
Ooh,
no. Exactly.
And that is weird.
I would have never, like you could have, give me a thousand guesses, and I would have never thought that that's what would have come out of her mouth.
Hmm.
But from that, I thought, oh my gosh, maybe everybody feels that way. I just don't realize it. So she normalized that feeling in me. And honestly, I think it kind of neutralized it, and I didn't really think about it. Now I did, as I got closer to 30, I kind of thought, I wonder if I'm living on borrowed time. And then jokingly, I was like, well, maybe it's 40, you know, maybe it's 50. Just kidding.
Well, like, did you kind of forget about it? Like that you said that, like you're like, oh my gosh.
But telling her out loud, 10 years ago, and Jenna's like, yeah, of course I told Jenna about these things, and she's like, well, that's just stupid. You know, like,
or did she say, I can handle that. I can take that.
I could, yeah. Well, the insurance money. Yeah, no. But so it's weird that, and like I said, there's only, that's not something you go around saying like, oh yeah, I'm going to die young kind of thing. Yeah. And I don't know why I felt that way, but that's how I felt. And I couldn't tell you what age that started. I started feeling that way. But I had those feelings. So it's kind of, this kind of hits close to home for me, which is really weird. And anybody out there listening, you'll probably, you know, there might be a few people like, oh, I felt that way before, or I felt like I was, you know, but most people feel like they're young and they're going to live forever. You know, that's kind of the feeling, you're invincible, but I didn't feel that way. I just felt like I might as well enjoy every single second and moment. And that's kind of what gave me the juice to be successful and try to live my life as best I could, thinking it's not going to be very long. Of course, so I'm very grateful for it now. But
you have no idea why you thought that.
I really don't. Nobody
died young in your family. Nobody.
I mean, I saw some young people die, and that probably stuck with me. But nobody ever came and said, "Dude, your days are numbered." No, I don't know. I really don't know where I got that idea.
Have you ever felt like that, Nate?
No.
Or anybody that you know that?
I was going to be really wild, like really blown away if you're like, "Oh yeah, I felt that way too," you know. But no.
I have.
I didn't figure you had.
The only thing I can compare that to would be. On my mind a lot is the age of my dad when he died. So he was 70. That in the last few years has been, I wonder if that's what, you know what I mean? I want to make it to 70 at least. I'm not saying I'm going to die at 70. I could be 90 or I could be 60 or tomorrow. But that is the number that sticks in my head.
Yeah.
And I was talking to one of my coworkers, and I won't mention his name, but because his dad died early 50s, his uncle died, you know, his dad's brother, early 50s. I think his grandpa, like, it's heart issues.
Mm-hmm.
He's in his mid-40s now. He doesn't think, and he's dead serious. That was terrible to say.
Is that a pun?
Is that, he is serious about, he's like, I won't make it past, you know, if I make it past 50, I'll be lucky. So, and he has said that.
Now I feel like I'm going to make it to 100. So I'm good now.
So 70 is my benchmark. And so,
right, I get it.
But I have never, like when I was 25, didn't go, no, I'm not going to live past 30. I've never thought that. So
nowadays I feel like,
but anyway,
when it's my time to go, it's my time to go. Whatever age that is. I hope it's, ripe old age.
Well, we talked about, I just want to see grandkids. And,
yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Get my Corvette. But,
Now, I found a story about Janice and Jim.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
they did get together.
Okay.
After a party.
This is nobody's business.
By a producer Paul Rothschild.
Rothschild. That's discredited. Mm. No, I was
kidding. They started drinking. I don't think they like dated. It okay. was just like they had this hung encounter okay. and hung out. They were fascinated with each other.
Okay.
They started drinking, and they continued through the night, and Jim became a disgusting drunk, mm-hmm. turned rude, violent, generally unpleasant to be around. And that
sloppy, you know what?
That put off Janice. So she decided that she was going to leave with Rothschild. And before she got in the car, Jim grabbed her by the hair and Ooh. Attempted to pull her out of the car.
What you're saying
was I was.
Yeah. So she quickly grabbed her bottle of Southern Comfort and hit him across the head with it. And nice. Immediately she got knocked abusive him bang. Out.
Knocked him out. Okay.
Yeah.
She's a firecracker.
And then.
Didn't
Jim,
he go chasing after her or something?
Well, he called. Jim called Rothschild to ask to give her. Or give him her number because he was still starstruck by her, or whatever, you know, still wanted to try to pursue a relationship with her. He told him that's probably not a good idea.
Unless, might want to rethink that, Jim. I think there was, does it say anything about, because I honestly think that he had started wandering through the streets of London. I think that's where it was. Looking for her, but mm-hmm. he never found her. After
yeah, this, maybe this just
it's probably
cut
true.
Dry. Just
yeah, if not, it really makes a great story.
No, I really do.
No,
think
I believe.
That's why, yeah,
I believe
he was.
All this sounded right to me.
I knew one somebody hit somebody. I was kind of half okay. I knew there was something there.
I wasn't supposed to be here to tell the stories.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding. So, well, thank you for that, Nate. Yeah,
A couple things I wanted.
I liked it. That's not a good idea, Jim. One, I would rethink your.
One thing I wanted to say is, if ever you know you want a list of all these, Wikipedia has every single person, the famous people on there, and it mm-hmm. tells what they died from, and obviously that they died at 27, what their you know expertise or entertainment was, or what made them famous. So they're all on there. What did you say, 71 people?
71.
That's crazy. But yeah, they're all on their catalog. We can't go through every single person. Yeah. We're obviously hitting the highlights.
That's why. That's the list I'm
but
looking at.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty fascinating. And of course, there's a lot of people like, I have no idea who that is.
Yeah.
But the one thing I wanted to point out, which is really interesting, one of the coolest ghost stories, there's a couple of different ghost stories, but there's a great picture of Tom Petty.
Oh,
that
yeah.
It's by Jim Morrison's grave, taking a picture. And at the time, obviously, nobody noticed. But when they developed it, it shows Morrison what it looks like to be a specter that looked just like Morrison on stage mm-hmm. and posing. And so it's one of the most it is documented as an actual. We have no idea how this how this happened. This isn't just a trick of the light.
What do you think about it?
I think it's real.
Do you? Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I do.
Mm-hmm. It looks real.
Did Snopes discredit it back in 2017?
I don't believe it.
You don't believe it?
No. I think it's Photoshop.
Do you think so?
Oh.
Hate to be. It's not what Tom Petty said.
Rest his
rest God rest his soul, yeah. He's
he
coming back
die, He didn't die at 27. But
because
71. No, I don't think it is.
So this is interesting.
I think it's a great story, though.
It is.
Great picture.
So the lead singer of The Doors died in Paris in 71. We already covered that, making him one of the first members of the 27 Club. But did his spirit live on beyond the grave? One interesting picture was taken in 97 when rock historian Brett Messner stood next to Morrison's grave in the Père Lachaise Cemetery. When you find the image, if you look to the right of Messner, there's a strange supernatural figure in the background. And it is it the ghost of Jim Morrison, but it's the same. So it's not just Petty that had that happen to.
Okay, is it the same exact picture? If it, I mean,
I haven't seen.
You know
that.
What I'm saying?
I haven't seen that
then
one.
They're just,
they just supposed to yeah
superimposed picture. Here's Sean Lehman standing at Jim Morrison's grave.
Like I said, though, Petty's
looks like the same as Tom Petty's and that whatever guy. You
just post me over it. I might have to do that just to prove you right.
No. I think it's cool.
But
I just don't.
I had not heard this about anybody else's picture, but I had heard that Tom Petty's has been deemed one that they can't explain. Hmm. That's what I'd heard. That's what I read. Well, so, and like I said, that could be total.
Hey, it could be. Hey, I'm
craziness.
Open. I'm open.
No, I know.
Yeah, I'm not shutting it down. I'm not shutting the door
down.
Hey,
we're going to Paris. That's on our list, right? Isn't Paris on our list?
Is it?
The girl that covers for me, Candy, just went to Paris. Oh, I want to go to Paris. The catacombs? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of history
I really have no idea why I would go there anyway. I don't know.
Don't we want to see Notre Dame and where the girl threw herself off violently, splitting herself in two?
Wow.
The other
was
one.
She 27?
Ooh. She was young. I don't remember what age.
I'll
have to look that up.
Scientists believe that the 27 Club is merely coincidence. Stats indicate that 56 is actually the age with the highest celebrity death rate.
Oh,
56.
See, we didn't have to have all this discussion then. If we just,
I've got all kinds of stats
science.
Here. You know what I mean? Stat man. Yeah. And then, this is weird. Many deaths were results of risky lifestyles, including but not exempt to suicide, homicide, and drug and alcohol abuse. What? Crazy talk.
I don't know what they're talking about.
But 56, yeah. That's fair. I like listening or reading all these different stats. Yeah.
That's what's funny is that, like, I pick these topics out. I don't pick them out to be like, don't you put holes in my theories? No, because I don't buy it either. I think these guys just lived hard and yikes.
Died
young. Yeah. Forever young. They did say that a lot of these guys talked about, they didn't want to live old and be remembered old. They wanted to be remembered young. Like James Dean, now that's a famous person. He did not die at 27.
23, I think.
Yeah, he was 23. Yeah, he was trying in between the 21, 27 club is what he was doing. But he was somebody that I don't know that he wanted to die young, but it was, we can't remember him as an old man because they weren't an old man.
No, you're right.
Amy Winehouse is another one that has a good ghost story. Mitch Winehouse, the father of Amy Winehouse, believes that his daughter returned to life through the form of a blackbird.
Hmm.
It's a true story. According to him, another member of the 27 Club, Back to Black singer, died due to alcohol poisoning in 2011. The week after she died, Mitch was staying at his sister's house when they heard a thud on the window. A blackbird had flown into the glass, so they picked it up and let it rest in the house. The bird then sat on Mitch's foot. He believes it was Amy, as she had a tattoo of a blackbird on her arm. Mitch had also said that Amy's spirit visits him during the night, sitting on the end of his bed. It's the dad. You can't discredit him.
I don't want my daughter or my son coming back as a black. Like, I want them in heaven.
Well, this is true. Like, this is fair.
I would want that. Like, that. I know you're. I know people are going to. I mean, hey, I can say it's my podcast, but what I say doesn't mean it's true. But I mean, I don't believe it's a bird. She's not a bird.
What I think it does. Again, I think it brings him comfort.
Oh, absolutely. It's all about that. Just as much as I'm like, but I want my kids.
She may from heaven back send the black bird.
Or,
no, I know.
And I'm not trying. And I know I'm not. I'm sounding very mean, I guess. It just sometimes it drives me nuts. But I get it. Comfort. And if you.
Comfort
yeah.
and joy.
But let's see.
No, I know.
Coming back as a bird or internal paradise. Oh, yeah, a bird. I want her to be a bird so she can come back and say, no, get out of here. I'm rough tonight, aren't I?
You are kind of rough on this. No,
you know what,
I don't completely disagree with you on what you're saying.
But if it brings some comfort, good for him. But man, people, I don't know.
People.
I just have a hard time with that one.
Hmm.
Maybe, because like I said, I don't know what if she got saved or not, but if she did, maybe God sending her back as a bird for a second. I don't know.
From what it sounded like with her, obviously she was an alcoholic, but she died in fear and anxiety and lots of stress and pressure.
She battled anxiety and depression a lot. Well, I think a lot of them did. And yes, that I can,
sure.
I'll tell you, I really feel bad about that. Anybody, I don't care. Us,
yeah.
Listeners,
yeah. That's right.
Family members or celebrities. That's horrible. To live with,
right,
and that's sad. Oh, I'm not making fun of the deaths, and I'm not trying to. I'm just saying, you want your daughter, she's a bird now.
Yeah,
that wouldn't bring me comfort, but that's me. That's good for him. That works for him. It's not mine. Yeah.
One thing in popular culture.
I'll shut up.
No, you don't need to shut up at all. You have contributed well to this. I like it.
I hope. You're going to keep me on?
We're going to cut it all out. Nate, you're going to cut all his part out? No, not at all. No,
I'm not keep trying to you be overly on. Mean about it. I'm just like, yeah, man. You know? Because I'm looking the other way.
The
I'm like,
locomotive,
oh, you
baby.
Don't wanna be. I wouldn't want her to be a bird. I want,
Not a blackbird?
No.
Okay. In popular culture. The 27 Club. So the name, the 27 by Fall Out Boy from their 2000 album.
Oh, they're good.
Folle-a-do is a reference to the club. The lyrics explore the hedonistic lifestyles common in the rock and roll. Pete Wentz, the primary lyricist of Fall Out Boy, wrote a song because he felt that he was living a similarly dangerous life. John Craigie's song 28, which appeared in his 2009 album Montana Tale and 2018 live album opening for Steinbeck, is written from the perspective of the 27 club members, Jim Morrison, Janis Joplin, and Kurt Cobain, as each contemplates their respective mortality and imagines what they would do differently if they could only make it to 28. Mm-hmm. The theme is referenced in the song 27 Forever by Eric Burdon on his 2013 album, Till Your River Runs Dry. The band Let Live featured a song named 27 Club on its 2013 album, The Blackest Beautiful. So it goes on and on and on. There's several of these, you know, so it is the song 27 Club by Ivy Levin, released as a promotional single for her 2015 album. No Good refers to the club. So there's just a lot of artists, and a lot of Juice WRLD referenced it. That's what I was trying to get to. Reference the club on his 2018 song Legends, where he says, "What's the 27 club? We ain't making it past 21." So he was self-fulfilling his own prophecies.
Wow.
So yikes, yikes, yikes.
Sad all around.
It really is.
It's heartbreaking.
It's also in video games.
Somebody did lose a
video games and comics too. Sam's getting rough over here.
Yeah. Oh.
It's in video games and comics. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Mind if I hit a couple other?
Sure, please.
Artist.
Oh, of course, no. Yeah. Go ahead.
The founding member and keyboardist and singer of the Grateful Dead, Ron Pigpen McKernan. He passed away from a gastrointestinal hemorrhage associated with alcoholism. That's a lot of booze at 27.
It is a lot of booze.
Then there was, I'm just hitting bands that I know are relatively big.
Mm-hmm.
The bassist of the Stooges, Dave Alexander, he passed away from pulmonary edema.
Mm-hmm.
Keyboardist and guitarist, leader of Badfinger, Pete Ham.
Yes.
Suicide by hanging.
Yes. That band, have you heard or read about their story? A lot of bad luck.
Yeah.
I mean, tragic, yeah. Mm-hmm. I did know about him. Mm-hmm.
Former bassist of Uriah Heep and the Keith Hartley band, Gary Thing. He was a drug overdose, heroin.
Man. People, stay away from that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Please. That's why I get all worked up, too. I'm like, what are they doing? They got this money and fame, and they get to be a artist for a living, and they eliminate it, you know?
All right.
Oh, it drives me nuts. Uriah Heep, though. Man, I haven't heard that name in a while.
The last person that was with Kurt Cobain was...
what's her name?
Duff
McKagan
from Guns N' Roses.
Oh, yeah.
Was the bassist.
It wasn't...
They shared a plane ride together.
Well, they think... another conspiracy is Courtney Love killed somebody.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
She's crazy, but...
country singer and guitar fiddle player for Reba McEntire, Chris Austin, died in a plane crash.
Ooh.
Yeah. And Kurt Cobain, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt who?
Bass guitarist of Hole and Janitor Joe, Kristen Plaff? Paff?
Something
like that. Drug overdose. And Hole was... Courtney Love's band.
Yeah.
Hole, yeah. Shit, I remember that one song that was real famous on MTV at the video, but...
She was a kooky girl. Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah. He could have done better. I'm on Kurt's side.
Then Jeremy Ward of the Mars Volta and De Facto Sound Manipulator. Drug overdose, heroin.
99% of these are drug or alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Overdoses.
Mm. I still don't get it. No, I mean, I really don't. I get it. I know they say fame and fortune and all that kind of stuff. It gets two people.
I was sad when I heard about this one. Actor in the Star Trek reboot series, Anton Yelchin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he got crushed by a car, right?
Yeah. Accidental blunt trauma. Asphyxiation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was getting the mail or something.
Oh, I remember hearing that story. Yeah,
gotcha. I didn't know that.
So his was
until you said mail. I was like, what? Who? Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that's a.
It's not funny, but it's like Austin Powers, where that steamroller's coming. Like, no.
Oh yeah,
and it's so far away that you could react.
It's, I mean, you talk about a
That's awful.
Weird way to go.
It is a weird way
terrible.
To go. Yeah.
All these are terrible.
And this one, I've never heard of this one. You know. This is Benjamin I don't know how to pronounce the last name. K-E-O-U-G-H. Suicide by gunshot. Elvis Presley's grandson and son of Lisa Marie Presley.
Interesting.
Oh. Hmm. I don't know. Just a lot of tragedy. No matter what the reason is, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a lot of talent that
wasted.
Was no more. Oh, yeah. Truly, just think of all the, so they're 27, maybe another 30 or 40 years of, you know, more music and stuff, like, you know, or see concerts. I would have loved, that was a year, see, Hendrix died, what, 70, they said?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I was born in 71. I mean, I would have loved to have seen, you know, as I got a little older, going to concerts.
They
they would have toured still. You know, those talents.
It is interesting to think of all the things that were missed. Yeah.
They say that stuff all the time. They're like, you know, where would guitar be if Jimi Hendrix still lived?
Oh, yeah.
What?
He could play chords that nobody on the planet could. Yeah,
play with his teeth.
His tongue.
Like, where would music be if Jim Morrison and Janis Joplin were still around and
beating on each other?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. They just think about that. Just think of a lot of talent.
I knew there was a dark underbelly of this discussion. I just didn't know how far it went.
And is it true? Because my one of my best friends, Bill, he doesn't listen to the podcast, but he follows us on Facebook and Instagram. His favorite's Jimi Hendrix. He knows everything about Jimi Hendrix. And I know he's left-handed. I think, though, he literally just flipped his guitar around, right? I don't think he
flipped it around, but then he restrung it correctly.
But he didn't have a special left hand. Yeah, it's just
It was a Strat that he just flipped over, but then he restrung it
for a left. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I watch videos. Like, you know, I love that they still have concert footage.
Oh yeah,
from Jimi Hendrix, and that dude, he's amazing. Like, crowd's going berserk.
Woodstock when he played when he woke the crowd with, you know, they said that got everybody up and at him and like
Watchtower. Yeah. Love this. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. He was great. Yeah. Sad. Won't be able to see him anymore. Yeah. Jim Morrison, like I said, I came late to that guy and that group.
That camp.
He was a good front man. I mean, he had the voice, the power of the charisma, you know, and he was exactly what you want. And nope. Didn't go much farther, did he? Oh, well. Yeah. But it's a good topic. It was just, like I said, I know I got on my opinions, but that's what it is.
You're entitled to your
opinions. No, I know that. I mean, I know I'm going to always have my opinion. I just meant like, I didn't want to sound like, because I'm heartbroken over these are just people, whether they were construction workers or musicians or dentists. I mean, they died. It's terrible. I just get worked up because I'm like, people, what are you doing? You know, I said, with the bird comment, I didn't want to. I'm not trying to be mean to the dad, and if that brings him comfort, then that's great. But I just like, oh man, I want more for him.
You hadn't heard that before,
that's why I'm getting
an honest reaction to what you heard.
More for him, I want him to. Yeah,
no, I know. Like you said, you want
my dad doesn't come back as a bird. I know he's in heaven, you know, and that's why I have peace. And so it's too bad that he can't say that. He has to say she's back as a bird. I'm just like, oh man. So I'm not trying to make fun of him. I just want more for him. So I maybe went about the wrong way. But yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, Robert Johnson. Thanks a lot, Robert.
Thanks, Robert,
for dealing with the devil. See what you get. See what happens. That guy is
27.
No good. He's no good.
No bueno.
Jerk devil.
El Diablo.
Satan. Ah! I curse you.
Satan loses. Yes,
yeah,
I know.
We know how that story goes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No.
We should bring up about the 27 Club, or what was the other thing they called it? The
Forever 27.
Forever 27 Club. Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Right.
The whole thing. Interesting thing.
With a clothing line, right?
Mm-hmm. And I
wouldn't wear
it
if I were you, if you're under 27.
Like I said, I mean, especially the musicians, I mean, they live a very spiraling life. They're very destructive to themselves.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, it's a shame that, you lose such great creative people so soon.
Yeah. And, you know, and like I said, probably the majority of them didn't want to take their lives.
No,
like,
I don't think.
You know what I mean?
Most of them were unintentional.
No,
just
what they were doing got mixed up with. And
I mean, back at that time too, it's like, you know, I mean that you toured and toured and toured and toured.
Yeah.
And they do it now, too, but it's, you know, it's like, man, I'm dragging. I'm tired. I need something to get me going. Oh, yeah. Here, try this. Here,
uppers, downers,
you
know, right. Lefters, righters. Yeah, I know.
You know, trying to control their, you know, everyday processes with chemicals. Yeah. And it yeah. gets out of
it. You eventually hit a brick wall. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Your body can only take so much. We said that earlier. Yeah.
I know watching a documentary about musicians that used to be like they're in their 60s and 70s now, but, and they say, oh, yeah, back in the day, man, that's what kept us going. But now as they got mm-hmm. older, they did kick their drug habit and they don't drink alcohol. But what they mm-hmm. do is they have a nutritionist.
Yeah.
So they eat better that they didn't when they were, they work out because of the grueling
schedule. Yeah.
And they're like, man, I wish I would have done this 40 years ago,
yeah.
you know? And so, they didn't have that. I mean, mm-hmm. it could have worked out, I guess, and eaten better. Right. But I'm just saying it wasn't. Now everything's health. You know what I mean?
Right. Why work out when you can just use this?
And feel better, yeah. Because right. your whole point yeah. is to feel
gives
better,
you
right?
Instant,
feel better about yourself.
Instant
yeah.
energy.
Yeah, and you escape the demands and stress.
And I think, you know, quite a few of them probably had some mental issues too, and they're fighting demons internally, and that's how they coped with that too.
Oh yeah, rough childhoods or mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right, inner demons. That, well, they said poor Amy Winehouse, she had demons just
oh yeah
she couldn't kick. Right, yeah.
Yeah, sad. That's it's sad at that age too.
Yeah, it's a baby, 27, not a kid, mm-hmm. but it's like, ooh, that's young. I liked it, man. Sad, but it was very interesting and fascinating to talk mm-hmm. about.
Oh,
to
yeah.
talk about all these
I'm glad we got
geniuses.
To talk about it.
Like,
yeah.
these were, and to the ones that weren't maybe well known, like, you know, a Kurt Cobain or a Jimi Hendrix, sad for them too, you know.
And mm-hmm. I think that, I think the creepies are going to enjoy this topic too. They're also, like we say with a lot of these, we can't cover everything.
Yeah,
there's,
oh gosh, we could
this
go
could
on forever.
Lead you to, like, look into it and thinking and take you off all kind of side roads. So mm-hmm. enjoy, right?
Yeah. And like Sean, you said, pull up some of these names, mm-hmm. you know, or just go down the list, and even the ones that you were like, oh, I've never heard of him or her, still interesting to read about, maybe.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
You know, or where they came from. Or
and people you didn't even know about, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, I know Uriah Heep, you know, but I didn't know that, you know.
Yeah, a lot of them. That's why I went through them, is I know the bands. I don't know the
right.
artists some per of, yeah. se, but, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I know mm-hmm. Grateful Dead.
Oh, yeah.
The Stooges, mm-hmm. the Drifters, yeah. The, you know.
Yeah, you know the band, but not maybe the individual. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, so that's a 27 club.
There you go. Creepies.
There you go.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
In 27 hours or less.
There you go.
Pretty good. I think we did well.
That's pretty good. Is that a wrap?
We probably
that's
had 27 wrap. Hours worth of material we could have talked about.
That's right.
Ooh. So what you got over there?
Well, what I have, actually. So one of the things when we were doing our Creepiversary episode, I wanted to mention, and it was something Nate said within the first...
I didn't say anything.
You did. You'll remember this, I promise. It was, I forget what episode.
Are you still uncomfortable over there?
He's very.
I'm totally uncomfortable.
You should be much more comfortable now, but Nate had said that this is kind of like our journey through the podcast. And so as we journey through this podcast, I like that. I had written that down and I forgot to say it, so I wanted to put it here. Where as we go through this journey, we kind of evolve some things or change or alter. And so what I wanted to do was play with a little something. And we're going to call it, or I'm going to call it, the middle-aged dark side. And so what I'm thinking, and who knows how this is going to look in the future. But so the middle-aged moment is something to bring out some light and some hope. I'm still going to try to do that with this moment, but it might be just a little bit on the darker side of it. So I like to call it the dark side. One thing that I want to tell a quick little story first. I had a dream a couple Saturdays ago, and I haven't been dreaming a lot. I think I told you guys that during the Creepiversary episode, but I had a dream, and it was one of those very lucid dreams, very clear. It was a weird one because it was a lot of different, felt like timelines or dimensionality to it. And it was very hard to figure out what age I was, where I was, and what was going on, because I had three of the kids with me. Harrison wasn't there. It was the three younger ones. And I was in a rush. I felt like very rushed in my life. So it was like the kids have all these things to do. Well, I had stopped on apparently Friday night to see my grandmother. Well, this is back in Kokomo in a house that she lived in. So this would have been like the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s mm-hmm. when she would have been this house. So we were going to visit and she had us stay there. But it was like quick. That night was fast and we got up the next morning. And I'm like, hey, it's Saturday morning. I got this and this and this and this to do today. So I got to run, Grandma, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so I'm shoving the kids out the door, and I stopped. And because, like I said, I mean, how old would that have been, you know, because we're dealing with different timelines. But I stopped a second, and I thought, wait a minute. I should just make sure that and acknowledge her and thank her, because she's not always going to be around. And then in that dream, you know, normally in dreams, you don't realize you're in a dream, but I'm like, oh, wait a minute. This is a dream and she's already gone. So weird to realize that. And so I turned around and I thought, before this dream ends, I want to talk to her. She didn't say a thing to me. Like, that whole dream was me just acting and reacting. And she's just kind of standing there very like, he'll figure this out here in a minute. And it was, I you know, there's no telepathy, which sometimes I get, and sometimes I get messages, nothing like that. And so I just wrapped my arms around her and I said to her, I will love you forever. And again, nothing, you know, just kind of, you know, but it was, I woke up and I was sad. I had tears in my eyes. And so I told Jen about it later, and she said, I said, yeah, I had a sad dream. And she said, I thought you said it was a sad dream. That sounds really happy to me. And I was like, yeah, but I felt sad because I realized she was gone. Yeah, and I feel like I've been somewhat disconnected from her. And she said, I think that's her way of getting whatever you're putting up in front. That's you. It's not her. She's somewhere happy, but she's trying to reach out to you and say, I love you too. Now, she didn't say it. I didn't get any of those messages. But it made me think of when the next song that I heard, that I listened to, was Evanescence, Bring Me to Life. And so it's a little bit darker of a song, but it resonated with me with that experience. So I wanted to share these words with you and kind of make that link to it. So it's even in some of our darkest moments, or what we feel are sad or empty, maybe actually not. So Bring Me to Life by Evanescence is, how can you see into my eyes like open doors, leading you down into my core, where I become so numb, without a soul, my spirit sleeping somewhere cold, until you find it there and lead it back home. Wake me up inside, save me, call my name and save me from the dark. Wake me up, bid my blood to run, I can't wake up, before I come undone, save me from the nothing I've become. Now that I know what I'm without, you can't just leave me, breathe into me and make me real. Bring me to life. Wake me up inside. Save me. Call my name and save me from the dark. Wake me up. Bid my blood to run. I can't wake up. Before I come undone, save me. Save me from the nothing I become. Bring me to life. I've been living a lie. There's nothing inside. Bring me to life. Frozen inside. Without your touch. Without your love, darling. And my grandmother used to call me that, darling. Only you are the life among the dead. All of this time, I can't believe, I couldn't see, kept in the dark, but you were there in front of me. I've been sleeping 1,000 years, it seems. Got to open my eyes to everything, without a thought, without a voice, without a soul. Don't let me die here. There must be something more. Bring me to life. So wake me up inside, call my name, and save me from the dark. Wake me up, bid my blood to run. I can't wake up before I come undone. Save me from the nothing I become. So I just, it is a great song. And it is, I've listened to that song so many times and for so many reasons, but it does, it charges you, but there is it's a darkness in there. But if you really look in there and you can kind of understand how I heard that song and I was like, oh my gosh, that's like my experience kind of, but it was almost in a very like numb way. I felt disconnected, but it was, I can see how when Jenna's like, that's actually a beautiful experience that you had.
Yeah, I agree.
But I'm looking for these rainbows and sunshine, and you know what? It was just her reaching out saying,
yeah,
wake up out of your stupor. You know, you're exactly,
was
you know
she
what
singing
I mean?
Like, though?
She should have been. Yeah.
Like, what's her someday name? I can't remember the singer. What's
someday
her name?
She'll laugh at me when I come through the gates.
Yeah.
Amy Lee.
Amy
She's Lee. Good. So, yeah, she'll laugh at me. She'll be like, seriously, what? All I was saying was hi.
I get what you're saying, because when I was telling about the dream I had with my dad at the baseball game,
right?
I could,
it was like
touch him. I could smell his, you know, his scent and feel, you know, and then when I wake up, it was a great dream, but I was like, oh, it's kind
of
sad.
It's
like,
interesting. Oh, no. It's interesting again, that I had enough wherewithal, like, you're dead. And I need to grab a hold of you real quick because you're going to disappear real fast.
Right.
Because
I was like, Dad, or he was like, I only have a quick minute to tell you, but yeah, anyway.
I did. I said,
get it. I get it.
I said, I love you forever. And it was. It was like, sweet. Yeah. Yeah. But it's funny that in that song, she used to call me darling and
darling.
Yeah. Different things, sweetie. And yeah. So
that was awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, a little bit of a darkness to that, a little edge, but I like it.
A little edge.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's hope.
Not the edge from
beauty. No. You too.
Well, you too.
There's beauty in that
different edge, right?
There's beauty in that breakdown, right? Didn't we cover that?
Yeah, no, that is a great song.
Yeah,
I like
no,
it.
Really,
it's really good.
Everybody go listen to that, especially if you haven't listened to it.
Good job.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah.
All right, and then we're getting into the second part of the announcements from the dark side, right? So you can connect with us, and we'd love for you to. We have an email account. Yeah, email address. How about that? Not account. Well, it's an account. It's makopodcast@gmail.com. Two ways with that, right? Check out our Tuesday Terrors. We're enjoying them. We're doing pretty good with them. Yeah. You like them?
Yeah.
So another way to connect.
I'm going to do mine this week on Tuesday.
Is it going to be one that you're making? Are you like, is it a made up story or you don't want to give that away?
What do you mean made up?
No.
None of mine are made up. I have
it'll have dropped before this drops, so anyway.
So I have two ideas in my head and I just have to kind of figure out where I want to go with them. But
no
it
pressure.
Might be, it might be one that I read that somebody else written.
No pressure, so no problem.
I don't know. But I'm going to do it Tuesday.
I keep saying I'm gonna pop these, you know, the stories out, and I'm going to, you know, and then I'm like, nah, just read somebody else.
Even though Nate says we do them on Thursdays. No, I'm doing it on Tuesday.
Okay.
Squarely delivered to you on Saturdays.
Not really uncomfortable. All right, go ahead.
You can listen to us on any platform. Pick one. Go listen. Get somebody else to listen. Yada, 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 right? Finito.
I don't see that in my notes.
Yeah, you don't see yada, yada, yada. Lobster bisque.
Yeah, and yada, yada, yada.
You yada, yada, best part. Yeah. I mentioned the lobster bisque.
I mentioned the bisque.
I know, yeah. Sorry, Seinfeld. Yeah.
That's a great one. Yeah. Good job. I love that part. I mentioned this.
That is a great part.
Is that it?
That's it.
Oh, man.
That was my final part.
Hmm.
Actually, I got one more final part, but that's pretty much my final part.
Before your final part.
Before my final final.
So it's
Not really my final.
Do you have a whiteboard?
It's a runner-up to the final.
No, you got the final part, but it's really not the final part until you get to the final part, but this is the final part before you get to the final part.
You're going
to
turn into the Micro Machines guy. Who's still alive.
Yeah. Nate, help us out, man.
Well, this is a club I can't be part of, but I'm glad I wasn't ever a part of. So that's a wrap.
Really. Amen. Yeah, I'm glad I'm not either. Club. Yeah.
Yo, geezer.
Geezer. No, yeah. Thank you for that, though, Nate.
Thank you.
I second that. I'm glad I wasn't part of it. We want to thank everyone for listening to our episode number 57 on the 27 Club. And until next time, creepies, Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out. Keep it creepy.